Chapter 38. To go over the rough mountain roads with where a body had to be careful about his driving, and there wasn't so much of his claim, but he could lug the money home with a pair easy enough. On the 13th of December he sold another horse, said two weren't necessary to drag that old light vehicle with. In fact, one could snatch it along faster than was absolutely necessary, now that it was good solid winter weather, and the roads in splendid condition. On the 17th of February, 1835, he sold the old carriage, and bought a cheap second-hand buggy. Said a buggy was just the trick to skim along mushy, slushy early spring roads with, and he had always wanted to try a buggy on those mountain roads, anyway. On the 1st August he sold the buggy, and bought the remains of an old sulky. Said he just wanted to see those green Tennesseans stare and gawk, when they saw him come ripping along in a sulky. Didn't believe they'd ever heard of a sulky in their lives. Well, on the 29th of August he sold his colored coachman. Said he didn't need a coachman for a sulky, wouldn't be room enough for two in it anyway, and, besides, it wasn't every day that Providence sent a man a fool who was willing to pay $900 for such a third-rate Negro as that, been wanting to get rid of the creature for years, but didn't like to throw him away. 18 months later, that is to say, on the 15th of February, 1837, he sold the sulky, and bought a saddle. Said horseback riding was what the doctor had always recommended him to take, and dogged if he wanted to risk his neck going over those mountain roads on wheels, in the dead of winter, not if he knew himself. On the 9th of April he sold the saddle. Said he wasn't going to risk his life with any perishable saddle girth that ever was made, over a rainy, miry April road, while he could ride bareback, and know and feel he was safe. Always had despised to ride on a saddle, anyway. On the 24th of April he sold his horse. Said I'm just 57 today, hale and hearty. It would be a pretty howdy-do for me to be wasting such a trip as that and such weather as this, on a horse, when there ain't anything in the world so splendid as a tramp on foot through the fresh spring woods, and over the cheery mountains, to a man, that is a man, and I can make my dog carry my claim in a little bundle, anyway, when it's collected. So tomorrow I'll be up bright and early, make my little old collection, and mosey off to Tennessee, on my own hind legs, with a rousing goodbye to Gadsby's. ... On the 22d of June he sold his dog. Said darn a dog, anyway, where you're just starting off on a rattling bully pleasure tramp through the summer woods and hills, perfect nuisance, chases the squirrels, barks at everything, goes a capering and splattering around in the forts. Man can't get any chance to reflect and enjoy nature, and I'd a blame sight ruther carry the claim myself. It's a mighty sight safer. A dog's mighty uncertain in a financial way, always noticed it. Well, goodbye, boys, last call. I'm off for Tennessee with a good leg and a gay heart, early in the morning. ... There was a pause and a silence, except the noise of the wind and the pelting snow. Mr. Lincoln said, impatiently. Well? Riley said. Well, that was 30 years ago. Very well, very well. What of it? I'm great friends with that old patriarch. He comes every evening to tell me goodbye. I saw him an hour ago. He's off for Tennessee early tomorrow morning as usual. Said he calculated to get his claim through and be off before night owls like me have turned out of bed. The tears were in his eyes. He was so glad he was going to see his old Tennessee and his friends once more. Another silent pause. The stranger broke it. Is that all? That is all. Well, for the time of night, and the kind of night, it seems to me the story was full long enough. But what's it all for? Oh, nothing in particular. Well, where's the point of it? Oh, there isn't any particular point to it. Only, if you are not in too much of a hurry to rush off to San Francisco with that post office appointment, Mr. Lickens, I'd advise you to put up at Gadsby's for a spell, and take it easy. Goodbye. God bless you. So saying, Riley blandly turned on his heel and left the astonished school teacher standing there, a musing and motionless snow image shining in the broad glow of the street lamp. He never got that post office. To go back to Lucerne and its fissures, I concluded, after about 9 hours waiting, that the man who proposes to tarry till he sees something hook one of those well-fed and experienced fishes will find it wisdom to ut up at Gadsby's and take it easy. It is likely that a fish has not been caught on that lake pier for 40 years, but no matter, the patient fisher watches his cork there all the day long, just the same, and seems to enjoy it. One may see the fisher loafers just as thick and contented and happy and patient all along the Seine at Paris, but tradition says that the only thing ever caught there in modern times is a thing they don't fish for at all, the recent dog and the translated cat. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.